Syria fighting against the regime. And it's not what we are seeing today. What we are seeing today is like terrorist groups who are using Western money to terrorize Syria. And when they finish to terrorize Syria, when they have some part-time, we can say, they come to terrorize France, Europe, and US. So technically, attacking Syria like he's doing right now, it's not the first time that Western world and US and whatever, France or Europe are attacking the country. The problem is like, what's the point? Like, okay, I'm okay with all the strategy, but no one is explaining you what's the point. What's the point? The point of Joe Biden today is to tell that we don't want Bashar Assad anymore. Okay, perfect. What's the solution? What's the other option? What's the guy you are going to put in charge? What you are? What kind of guy in 10 years? You are 10 years now. What kind of guy in 10 years who had like the you can say the authority to take the
well, mind you, Jean-Pierre, that the people that they are striking there at the border are the same people, whether from the Iraqi resistance or the Syrian Arab Army, that have eliminated Daesh. So what really are they trying to do there?
I'm telling you, see, what I wanted to say is that it's always the same strategy. The strategy is the strategy of chaos. It's a strategy of chaos, and to make sure that the country will stay like that. That means in the middle age. The problem is like they don't want to have a peaceful place in the Middle East. They don't want to have a place in which Christians, Muslims, and all the religions can live together and to say to the rest of the world, look at us, we are living together, we don't have issue.
One very interesting issue that the Biden administration is working on reviving Daesh for it, and also reviving what they call the international coalition, especially in the areas occupied by the U.S. troops in the eastern part of the Euphrates, under the pretext, obviously, of fighting Daesh, but they've never did up until my, but what I know about the information that I have, they've never did. But what is the point of reviving that coalition, the international coalition, foreign troops coming from foreign countries, to desperately save what's left of the Syrian oil fields and the gas fields? Aren't they never tired from looting and plundering other states, sovereign states' resources?
I will tell you something, the real target, you know that, you and me, I think everyone who have like a little bit of cleverness know that it's Iran. So this is the real issue, like they are trying their best to target Iran. And because they cannot go to Iran, they are trying to destroy whatever is around it. Mm-hmm. And this is what they are doing right now. And the fact is like, they are not thinking, what I like in your way of thinking is like, you are trying to understand and to define the strategy. When you are in a strategy of chaos, you don't have strategy. The only strategy you have is just to make sure that the people around your principal, your main enemy, are like totally destroyed and not able to live like normally. This is what they're doing.
But Jean-Pierre, at this point, as Syria, a French citizen yourself, would you be okay in sending French troops to the eastern part of the Euphrates in Syria?
I said from the first day of what they called the so-called uprising in Syria, that all we are going to do in this area will be for nothing. You are talking about an area who are older than us. You are talking about area who have been there before us. You are talking about area who have like a tradition and civilization. You talk about 1,000 years ago. You can talk about Amawiyin, Abbasiyin. Who are us, you know, like to come and to say like, listen guys, we are going to teach you how to manage your country.
How to be democratic, please.
Exactly.
How to have democracy in your low life.
I want to say that, like at the same time that in France we were not using souls, in Syria at the same time they were doing surgery of eyes. So just to make people understand what the difference was, you know what I mean? So after everything changed because of the Wahhabi system and because like they did a lot about destroying like everything about science and cleverness in Islam. But if we talk about the reality of like Islam at the beginning, it was a religion of science. And look what they did about it. So the fact is like in France, I'm telling you again, and people have to listen to that, like we were not even using soap in the Middle Ages. And they were doing surgery for eyes in Syria. They have even places for crazy people in asylum and whatever. You know, like this is the reality of the Umayyad civilization, and we can talk about the Abbasiyin. So look what we were doing at the same time.
Jean-Pierre, it's always a pleasure and interesting way to discuss what's going on in the region of West Asia when you have you on board. But unfortunately, that's the time that we have. And well, thank you very much, Jean-Pierre Dution, political commentator, for joining us from Paris to talk about what might the U.S. and European administrations be thinking or have in their pockets as surprises, if they may, for the Syrian nation. Thank you for being with us, and may the next 10 years be full of serenity, peace, unity, and utmost resistance in the region of West Asia against any occupier and any colonizer.
In the limelight.
U.S. President Joe Biden has said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign if the state attorney general's investigation confirms the sexual harassment allegations against him. President Biden made the remark in an interview with ABC News that aired on Wednesday morning, 17th of March. When asked by the anchor, George Stephanopoulos, if the investigation confirms the claims of the women, should Andrew Cuomo resign, Joe Biden said yes, adding, I think he's probably end up being prosecuted too. The article you're about to hear has been written by staff at the Associated Press. The piece is titled, Biden, Cuomo Should Resign If Sexual Harassment Inquiry Confirms Claims. Stay with us for more. U.S. President Joe Biden has said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo should resign if the state attorney general's investigation confirms the sexual harassment allegations against him. The president made the remark in an interview with ABC News that aired on Wednesday morning, 17th of March. When asked by the anchor, George Stephanopoulos, if the investigation confirms the claims of the women, should Andrew Cuomo resign, Joe Biden said yes, adding, I think he'd probably end up being prosecuted too. It takes a lot of courage to come forward, so the presumption is it should be taken seriously, Biden said, and it should be investigated, and that's what's underway now. The New York governor is facing allegations that he sexually harassed or behaved inappropriately towards multiple women, including several former staffers. The former staffers have accused Andrew Cuomo of workplace harassment, including demeaning them with pet nicknames or making objectifying remarks about their appearance. Cuomo also faces an allegation that he groped a female staff member under her shirt after summoning her to the governor's mansion in Albany, New York, late last year. He has denied the allegations. The three-term governor has rejected calls for his resignation from fellow Democrats, including New York's two U.S. senators, Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand, and has asked New Yorkers to await the result of an investigation headed by the state's Attorney General, Letitia James. New York's Attorney General Letitia James last week named a former federal prosecutor, June Kim, and the Employment Discrimination Attorney, Ann Clark, to lead the Cuomo investigation. They have full subpoena power and will document their findings in a public report. The sexual harassment investigation is in addition to scrutiny that Andrew Cuomo is facing from federal prosecutors while looking into how his administration handled data on COVID-19 outbreaks at nursing homes in New York. The New York State Health Department has already admitted that members of Governor Andrew Cuomo's COVID-19 task force altered a report from that same health department in order to omit the full number of nursing home patients killed by the coronavirus. But Cuomo's administration insisted the changes were made because of concerns about the data's accuracy. Damaging new allegations had been published by the New York Times that aides to Andrew Cuomo rewrote a report from state health officials to conceal COVID-19 deaths among nursing home patients and strengthen his reputation as a leader. The New York Times had claimed the attempted cover-up took place at the start of a month-long effort last June by senior administration officials to hide the extent of the pandemic sweeping New York and sparked a furious battle with public health officials. Andrew Cuomo's aides rewrote the report, which was not yet public, to omit 9,250 deaths of nursing home residents recorded by the New York State Health Department. State officials insisted that the edits were made because of concerns about the accuracy of data.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge. a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyah. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the supplication of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, painful occasions, and intense grief. We just began discussing verse number 10, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, "Indeed, my capacity has been straitened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me, and I am filled with worry by carrying what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me." We said that the meaning of "indeed my capacity has been straitened due to what has befallen me, my Lord," this verse that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam expresses, we must understand that because Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is not only dictating this to only teach, but rather he also expresses it in his own level. And therefore, it is beyond our description of what is he talking about. Although we understood what he wanted to say in our own level, but there is a deeper interpretation to that which is beyond the scope of our minds, because we are in a very limited level of comprehension. When you talk of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, when you talk of the Holy Prophet and the Imams of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, their level of perfection is beyond description. And therefore, what they meant by saying that, you know, "indeed my capacity has been straitened, my Lord, due to what has befallen me," that is something beyond our understanding. That we should seek the knowledge from them themselves, that what did you mean by saying this? We must understand that unlike a group of people, a group of scholars also, who say that these supplications were only for the sake of teaching others, a group of muhakkikin, that means those very well versed scholars, believe that actually it is not only teaching, but also Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam means it. Now, in what level does he mean it, and so on? This is something which is worthy of reflection.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
and then Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam continues and says, "I am filled with worry by caring that what has happened to me, while you have the power to remove what has afflicted me." We interpret it in our level and we say that how, due to some calamities that come, our situation is constrained. The calamity itself is that constriction and the narrowing down of our capacities. Due to what? Due to what we have ourselves done in the previous years. Because of the problems that we have created for ourselves, that is why we find that, you know, our capacity has become narrow. And because of that, we are worried of what will happen in the future. I cited some examples, but today I would like to cite another tangible example, because it actually pertains to many of us. And that is, you know, throughout the years you had, alhamdulillah, Allah gave you beautiful children, beautiful daughters and sons, but you were very indifferent of their upbringing. You said, "I have a lot of money, I'll make sure that they are happy," but you did not realize that that is not what happiness is all about, to give them physical attention, rather to give them spiritual attention. After some years, when they have become old, and not very old, but of that prime age of youth, you find that problems are occurring. And at that time, your capacity is limited because you can't tell them at that time. They have actually made their whole structure that way. Especially when a person has already crossed 21. When a person has already crossed 21, that is that age, if you look at the riwayat, that after that, it is a very crucial age. If a person, you find if your child really is a mu'min, is doing the right things, wants to attain his perfection, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continuously because you did the right things. But if you find that no, he is indifferent of religion, he is indifferent of the hereafter, then you have to actually pray for him. And that is the time when you say actually, oh Allah, my capacity is straightened, it is narrowed down due to what I have already committed. So oh Allah, remove it, remove these worries that I have for the future, that you are actually worried of the future of your own children. Because what will they do when they come to the society? How would they behave when they come to the society, and so on? So this is something, but with regard to our level that we are talking of, as I said, that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam is also reciting this supplication, and therefore he has something more sublime to express before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is beyond our description, and which some of the mystics actually mention in their works. But due to the limit of this discussion here, we would not like to go into the details.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
And then the last phrase that we talked about in our previous session, وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ. You are the person who is able to take out the situation, to take out the problems that are facing. Because, you know, and we have examples of people that they did not train their children well, but because of supplication and because of struggle after a certain period, they really could train their children and to bring them properly, slowly and gradually, although 21 years had passed, but it was with difficulty, with what we called a kind of friendship with them, you know, because the rectification period is not a very easy period. وَأَنْتَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَىٰ كَشْفِ مَا مُنِيتُ بِهِ. While you have the power to remove what has afflicted me and to repel that into which I have fallen. Inshallah, we'll continue with our next discussion. Next time we come to the end of the discussion. وَالْحَمْدُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
یا
Food for thought.
Hello dear friends, and congratulations on the birthday anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him, the fourth infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. And here is something to ponder upon from Imam Zainul Abidin, peace be upon him. Fear God and know that you will inevitably return to Him, when everyone will see his good and bad deeds right before his very eyes. He will wish for the longest period of time to separate himself from his bad deeds.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hello and welcome to The Light. March 22nd is a very important day, but many of us may not be aware of that. The 60-meter picture shows an Ethiopian girl carrying water. That was created ahead of the World Water Day, the international occasion falling on March 22nd. A group of artists made the landmark in northern England to raise awareness about climate change and the global water crisis.
Interspersed in the drawing is like a cracked turf to symbolise the drought that climate change will cause. And then the metaphor, if you like, is that the sea is coming in, the rising tide is the rising sea levels that we're going to face in the future.
The artwork was made in collaboration with WaterAid. That's an international NGO focusing on water, sanitation and hygiene. The project supervisors say the main goal is to raise awareness about the importance of water in children's lives. They say they also want to raise attention that how climate change is affecting people's access to water.
It must be exciting to experience a real-world version of a game. Let's go to Japan to see what it's like to be Mario. Fans of the classic Super Mario games are delighted as Nintendo's first ever theme park has opened in the western city of Osaka. Visitors can gather virtual coins and defeat villains while exploring the park with a smart wristband. One of the park's main draws is a Mario Kart ride around the castle of Mario's enemy, Bowser.
We perfectly recreated the world of the game. You can feel what it's like to be inside of the game and enjoy the life-sized world. You'll find piranha plants, and you'll see what it is like to be Mario.
Visitors can also meet life-size characters from the Mushroom Kingdom and grab a bite in Mario-themed restaurants. The attraction is part of the Universal Studios Japan Amusement Park. Its opening was delayed repeatedly from last summer due to the coronavirus pandemic. A Crimean powerlifter has set a Russian record for pulling a giant airplane. The powerlifter managed to pull an amphibian aircraft weighing 31.5 tons. He did so over the distance of more than a meter at a military base near the city of Sevastopol. The strongman suffered serious injuries during the first attempt on Tuesday when he pulled the plane for 31 centimeters. With the fourth attempt later in the day, he pulled it to 1 meter and 12 centimeters in just 40 seconds. The record was confirmed by representatives of the Record Book of Russia.
An archaeological team has discovered new ruins in Egypt. The discovery reveals a monastic life in the country's western deserts in the 5th century. The Egyptian Antiquities Ministry says the discoveries include ruins of three churches with graffiti and symbols on walls. It says the religious inscriptions and the Greek biblical passages prove the nature of life at that time. The mission was carried out by a group of French and Norwegian archaeologists. The find offers better understanding of the development of buildings and the formation of the first monastic communities. In recent months, Egypt has announced several major archaeological discoveries, hoping to revitalize its tourism industry. School children from Spain and Portugal have been learning how to combine sports with science. They have now put their knowledge and skills to the test by racing their electric cars. The contest was held between nine teams outside Athletic Bilbao's San Mamés Stadium. However, the goal wasn't to see who could drive the fastest. Rather, the strategy was to use their battery power as efficiently as possible. The team that completed as many laps as possible in 90 minutes was declared the winner. Driving the car too fast could quickly drain the batteries.
Apart from being fun and interesting, you can learn mechanics, electrics, and then you can compete. You learn things from the realm of engineering, more things for the future. I usually say that the electric car is the future, but others will make hybrids in order to maintain speed and design and the engine type.
The cars are powered by twin lead-acid batteries that supply 24 volts to a 240-watt electric motor. The teams don't have to build their cars from scratch because a basic kit is supplied to them. However, they have to modify the vehicle mechanically, electrically, and aerodynamically. The project started in the UK in the 1990s. It seeks to raise awareness in young people about alternative energy sources, climate change, and pollution issues. Let's go to the US, where a baby giraffe has explored his habitat at the Indianapolis Zoo for the first time. In a sunny day, Candy playfully made his first public appearance along with his mother and the herd. The cute calf was born in November and has no siblings yet. Giraffes are native to sub-Saharan Africa, so the zookeepers only allow them to be outside when the weather is not wet or cold. Two tiny islands in South Korea have become tourist attractions by turning almost everything to purple. They are now known as Purple Islands. Banwol and Bakji Islands used to be abandoned locations with small populations of elderly people. But everything changed when residents launched a popular campaign there in 2015. Inspired by their native balloon flower, they started painting the houses, roads and bridges in different shades of purple. They planted more purple flowers on the islands and wore clothes with the same color. Restaurants on the islands also started serving purple food.
We couldn't travel overseas due to COVID-19, so we thought about a local trip instead and found these purple islands. It's amazing and looks like fairy tales and magic. As I'm seeing, the grandmas are all wearing purple clothes. It is very dreamy.
The tourists also praise the welcoming spirit of the islands, who offer a free entry to the visitors dressed in purple. The campaign has changed the island's ambience, adding liveliness and activity to the routine of its residents. It's also attracted the government support, which has invested more than $4 million to turn the islands purple. World-renowned musician Yo-Yo Ma has transferred a COVID-19 vaccine waiting room to a concert hall in the U.S. city of Pittsburgh. Played the pieces after receiving a second dose of the coronavirus jab. Dozens of socially distanced people who had just received their second shot listened on at the Berkshire Community College while waiting for the 15-minute mandatory observation period to end. Yo-Yo Ma, who is a local resident, has said his performance was meant to give something back to the community.
Rations in the town of Yaryapolsky mark the end of winter with a colorful Maslenitsa celebration. People dressed in costumes march in the center of the town, which lies some 170 kilometers from Moscow. After some friendly competitions, participants burn the effigy of Maslenitsa. This marks the end of winter and was believed to fertilize the soil and bring a good harvest in the upcoming autumn.
The Maslenitsa went great. We have been sitting at home for a long time because of this COVID, but now everything is fine.
Maslenitsa is celebrated during the last week before the Christian festival of Lent. It is a last chance to the upcoming weeks to eat dairies and meat, which are forbidden in the upcoming fasting time. The festival began as a pagan ritual, but was later absorbed into the Russian Orthodox Christian tradition.
Now, plastic waste has become a global environmental challenge, causing frustration amongst residents as recycling isn't common everywhere. But a Filipino artist has grabbed the opportunity to turn trash into treasure. Since 2019, Gilbert has been transforming plastic waste, especially non-recyclable trash, into beautiful paintings. He has so far made over 24 artworks by scattering shredded plastic bits across his canvases. The artist also uses expired paint and leftover wood from demolished homes. Gilbert gets some of those materials from around his neighborhoods, while the rest is given to him by donators. He says he got the idea to put that waste to good use when he found out his country is one of the world's top plastic waste producers.
We are the third contributor of plastic waste into the ocean, the third in the world. When I found out about that, I had to think of ways to raise awareness and knowledge on the reasons why we contribute this much waste.
The artist's works have been displayed in famous galleries in the Philippines. They have sold for prices ranging from a few hundred to a few thousand dollars. Gilbert has also created an advocacy group called Green Arts, aimed at encouraging artists to use recycled waste for their work.
Now, the first gorilla born in the Berlin Zoo in 16 years finally has a name. The naming day was celebrated with no visitors due to the coronavirus pandemic. However, zookeepers made the day special for the tiny turtle and her first-time mother with their favorite treats. The baby was born in mid-February. After a few weeks, the zoo received over 17,000 name suggestions for her. The low number of female firefighters across the world may indicate women's lack of interest in the job, but this female-only Brazilian firefighter crew is here to prove the opposite. The all-female team say their main goal is to empower women through the work they do. They say they are willing to prove that women can take any job that can help society. The five-item crew started their activity just on Monday on International Women's Day. They work in southeastern Brazilian state. Although women have a variety of fire service roles in different countries, they account for less than 20% of firefighters worldwide.
That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special. Salaam alaikum and so welcome. Today is the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, Shia's fourth Imam. Congratulations. Today, Friday, is the 5th of Shaban, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Isfan, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We offer our congratulations on all Muslims.
Every sound and every voice in every language ever heard. Each drop of ink that has been used to write every single word. They can never portray everything I feel in my heart and wanna say. And it's hard to explain why I could never describe my love for you.
Parts of Imam Sajjad's letter to his Shias and supporters. Seek Allah's help and return to the obedience to Him, and those whose obedience should be preferred to those whom are currently followed and obeyed. Be thoroughly careful before you suffer regret and sorrow when you will be taken to Allah to stand before Him for maintaining judgment. By Allah, I take the oath, any people who direct to the disobedience to Allah will surely suffer His agony. And any people who prefer the worldly pleasures to the life to come will surely suffer grievous end and ill fate. Do not receive anything from the pleasures of this world through committing an act of disobedience to Allah. Spend your time with performing acts of obedience to Allah. Seize the opportunities of this world and work for matters due to which you will be saved from the agony of Allah. This way will decrease your sins, make your apologies more excusable, and increase your opportunities of salvation. Today is the birthday anniversary of Shia's fourth Imam, Imam Sajjad, alayhi salam. So happy and congratulations to all Shia Muslim brothers and sisters.
Dr. Fakhr Rouhani.
In this episode, we are going to talk about the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn Hussein al-Sajjad alayhi salam. Regarding the life and times of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, it must be indicated that it was due to his piety and his insistence on accomplishing Islamic rituals and performing prayers that he was given the honorific title Zain al-Abidin, the ornament of worshippers. And in this connection, it must be indicated that he was so insistent on performing the rituals and Islamic acts of piety, that once Fatima, a daughter of the first infallible Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, asked Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari to remind Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam not to be so insistent on performing prayers because everybody feared of the point that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam might lose his life because of his intense concentration on acts of piety and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the same time, it must be indicated that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was really a God-worthy person, such that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam, when he wanted to, when he intended to perform wudu in order to perform the rest of Islamic acts of piety, he was trembling due to fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, it must be indicated that once Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam started his canonical prayer, that is Salat, he was inattentive to anything else, such that once one of the sons of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam broke his hand, and so long as Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam was concerned with the act of performing Salat, a doctor was called on and he came in and did his medication. It was after the Salat that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam knew well that one of his sons had such a mishap.
يا من أتيت فزدت حبنا أسعدتنا وجمعت شملنا أنت هدية من الله لنا بعد انتظارنا لك طول السنة فيك السرور والهنا حمدا لك يا ربنا عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate عيد سعيد Let's enjoy this happy day عيد مبارك Come on let's celebrate Celebrate Let's celebrate Allah Allah Thank you for this day
Life of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is referred to in several narrations for his devotion to God and commitment to prayer. Two of his titles are Zainul Abidin, that means the adornment of the worshippers, and As-Sajjad, that means the often in prostration. The Imam was a survivor of the massacre at Karbala in which he witnessed the murder of his father and family. Imam Sajjad thereafter played a crucial role in narrating the tragedies and confronting Yazid's government in Syria. The Imam had a long period as Imam, 34 years. During his tenure, the Imam wrote many works which served to revive some of the religious knowledge of the Prophet to the followers of Ahlul Bayt in particular and Muslims in general. His two famous works, As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyya, Psalms of As-Sajjad, and Risalatul Huquq, the Treatise on Rights, remain crucial documents and are still celebrated and studied as primary sources of the Shia today. Dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters, please accept our congratulations on the birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام عليه الصلاة والسلام لا إله إلا الله
notable books by Imam Sajjad. The legacy of Imam Sajjad has preserved through the centuries by the books compiled by the Islamic scholars from his supplications and prayers. As-Sahifa Sajjadiyya is the collection of the Imam Sajjad's supplication, which also reflects the social status at that time, especially in Medina. The supplication presents his aversion to bad behavior and speech of people at that time, taking refuge to God from what he saw and heard and clarifying the right path under the guidance of religion and the Quran and the purification of souls from pollutions. This book has been translated into several languages. Risalatul Huquq is the title of the lengthy narration from Imam Sajjad compiled as a book. This narration, which contains over 50 duties of any individual towards other, is in fact a treatise on moral conduct in both personal and social life. The rites discussed in this treatise address various social relations of any individual, like the duties toward parents, spouse, children, neighbors, teachers, students, believers, the leader of the congregational prayer, the government, and etc. Because of the particular position and the comprehensive content, several translations and commentators have been written on this treatise.
والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد وآله الطاهرين. If we want to understand the concept of worship, the concept of devotion, the concept of supplication, then first we must familiarize ourselves with Imam Zainul Abidin عليه السلام. The fifth day of Sha'ban is the birthday of Imam Zainul Abidin عليه السلام, the fourth Imam of Ahlul Bayt, the son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ali ibn al-Husayn, the Imam that is called, that amongst his names is as-Sajjad, the prostrator, the worshipper. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam spent his entire life in worship, in supplication, in dua, in salah, in reciting Quran, in speaking with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in dhikr. And likewise, he spent his life after Ashura, he spent it all in grief for his father, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And he left us a great legacy. Look at the du'as, the beautiful du'as that he left us. For example, you see the beautiful du'a of Abu Hamza, du'a Abu al-Hamza al-Thamali is by Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. How beautifully he teaches how to speak with Allah, how to ask for mercy and forgiveness, how to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his benefactions, how to praise and glorify Allah in the most eloquent, beautiful way. It's all in the du'as of Imam Zainul Abidin. Read Fatih al-Jinan, you see many du'as from Imam Zainul Abidin. And especially du'a, the book of Sahifa Sajjadiyya, so many beautiful du'a, so many munajat that are narrated by Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. He left us this beautiful legacy. He taught us how to speak with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught us likewise how to mourn for his father Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that is narrated that every drink of water he would drink for the rest of his life after Karbala, after Ashura, he would mix it with his tears. Every bite he would eat, he would mix it with his tears for his father Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam's mother was a very noble woman, a woman by the name of Shahrbanu or Shahrbanuay or Shahzanat. And this honorable woman is a descendant of a Persian king. Her grandfather was a Persian king. And it was during one of the battles that the Muslims had with the Persian Empire that the Muslims conquered the Persian Empire, and she was taken as a slave. Imam Ali alayhi salam, he took her and he told her to choose who she wants to marry. She quickly went and chose Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam to be her husband. He married her and they had Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam as their son. And she was a very noble and great woman. And that's why you find that Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam was called Ibn al-Khiratayn, the son of the best of the Arabs and the best of the Persians.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for being with us on the auspicious day of birthday anniversary of Imam Sajjad. Congratulations and have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. La fata illa Ali, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami, Aliyul Imami.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi.
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.